Well, let's take our Bibles and look together in 2 Kings chapter 1 as we continue our study through these books of the kings. Some say that at one point these two books were actually divided up into four books and were later combined. And so we have the first book of the kings and now the second, but it's really a continuation of the first. And you see here in chapter 1 and verse 1, then you have to go back into the context, because here now we're following this king Ahaziah, which back in 1 Kings 22, he was the son of Ahab. Ahab had been killed, and now the son was to replace Ahab. Ahab reigned even as an evil king for some 22 years. And so now his son was given by rights the throne. And here we're talking about in verse 51, he reigned over Israel. That was the northern tribes that had their capital there in Samaria in rebellion against God and what God had established for Jerusalem, where the temple was. But here was a rival kingdom. And these kings succeeded one another down through the years, but the one thing they all had in common is they were evil kings. As the father, so the son. And Ahaziah was such, the son of Ahab. He began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Again, we're seeing the time sequence here. Here the Lord had put Jehoshaphat over the southern tribes of Judah, and yet here was Ahab over the northern tribes in Samaria. And it says here, verse 51, he reigned 2 years over Israel. So what we're going to see here in 2 Kings chapter 1 is God's divine justice. That's the title of this message, divine justice. How God acts in his justice. It's not always in the way that we think. You think, well, Ahab was the worst of the kings, and yet God had him reigning for 22 years. And now his son comes along and at best reigned 2 years over Israel. Had he had his will, he would have reigned a whole lot longer than that, but it's not dependent upon man's will. It says he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. That was the very first king. That was the servant of Solomon that went up. And when it says, who made Israel to sin, he's the one that set up the worship of the golden calves, went back to it. For he served Baal. Baal was the common name for the god of Canaan. It's the word that means Lord. But then you see sometimes a name added to it. It's like Beelzebub. That's the Lord of the flies, actually. And there was a whole tradition around that. But he served this false god. And that's all that men can do when God leaves them to themselves, without that revelation of Christ himself in them. Any god that they can latch onto, they will. And that's what we have today, as opposed to the true God revealed in Christ and his work accomplished for sinners. But he served Baal and worshiped him and provoked to anger the Lord of Israel according to all that his father had done. So then, if you didn't have this chapter here or this second book, you just keep reading. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Remember, Moab was the son of Lot and Lot's daughter, that after Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed, the daughters got Lot, their father, drunk, and of that incest came two nations, which God purposed should be, and one of them was Moab. And Moab was and is continue to be a reprobate nation. And so when they learned that Ahab was dead, automatically they thought, well, this is our time. Now we're going to go and take over Israel. And so Ahaziah, thinking that somehow he's going to rally his forces now and defend the cause of his father and be the one to bring defeat to Moab, actually, verse 2 says, he fell down through a lattice. That would be a rail. He was up on the second story of his little palace there and leaned up against it. I don't know what happened, but God purposed that he fall through it to the ground in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and therefore was sick as a result. A lot of people think that as long as they're in their castle that they're safe. There is no castle where God cannot find and destroy any one of his enemies. Here he was just in a normal, everyday way of life, maybe out there walking along, pondering how he was going to rule his kingdom, and the Lord caused him to fall. So he sent messengers and said unto them, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. So this was a god of the Philistines. That was where Ekron was. And this was the god, the little G-O-D, that they worshipped. And in their apostasy, they had, in turning away from the one true God, they had adopted this one as their god. This is really what Joshua was talking about in Joshua 24, when he said that, if you will not serve the Lord your God, choose, when he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. A lot of the believers in so-called free will will say, ah, see, choose you this day. But when you read what Joshua is saying, you turn from the one true God, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that are this side of the river or the other side of the river. There is no other God to worship. And so God here leaving even Ahaziah to his own reprobate mind, there was only one God that he could turn to, and that was this God of Ekron. And that's the first he runs to. If you want to know whether God has done a work of grace in the heart of a sinner, look where that sinner runs in time of trouble. If they run to a congregation, if they run to a preacher, if they run to their friends, those are all little G-O-D-S's. There's only one refuge for sinners, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking to him and being bowed to his will. But he makes it very plain who was his God. Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, it's been a while since we've heard of Elijah, and yet he was there. The Lord had him quietly on the side until this point. And so the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, or the messengers, is it not because there is not a God in Israel? This is a good question to ask people when they clearly are not worshiping the God of Scripture, and they have a God that they're pursuing. Is it because there is not a God in Israel? One that is overall, that you pursue now these other little G-O-D-S's? That you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the God of Ekron? See, the gods, the little G-O-D-S's that many worship today, and I will include there many of Christendom, that is not the sovereign God, that is not the God who determines who he saves and who he doesn't, that is not the God that has put away the sin of those he has purposed to save in his son. People don't like that kind of God because all the power and authority is in his hand, but they want it in their hand. So they continue to pursue these little gods. This is a good question to ask people when they hold the Bible in their hand. and say they believe God, but they don't believe the God of the Bible. It doesn't take much to start pointing them out, because they're following after a God that they've been taught, and they're probably parroting it, want to pass it on to the next generation. Years ago, someone started a lie, and it continues to be propagated that God loves every single sinner in the world. Try taking that away from people that follow such a God. Boy, they'll get in a fight. Someone started a lie years ago that said that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, shed his blood for every single sinner in the world. Ask them, well, then why isn't everybody saved? Well, again, it comes back to a man's choice. See, that's their God. That's their little idol God. It's right there within them. It's within all of us, were it not for the grace of God. So when they speak of their little G-O-D and go inquiring after that little G-O-D because they believe they've got to shake the gates of heaven and make some noise to get heard. That's what the Lord taught the disciples there in Matthew 6. Don't be like the heathen. Think by the multitude of their words that they're going to be heard. That's not the God of the Bible. And so, the Lord sends his messengers to his angel. When it says, but the angel of the Lord, said to Elijah, that's a term which I believe refers to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is that angel of the messenger. It's not that he was created. He's the messenger of the covenant that went before Israel. He's the messenger of the Lord here to Elijah. That's how God communicates, always has, through his son, even though Christ had not yet come. But his life did not begin on this earth. He's eternal God. Now therefore, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. That's the message that the Lord had to deliver to Ahaziah. Stop and think, wouldn't that be a mercy if the Lord told you exactly what's going to take you out of this world? Would that not turn your thoughts to the Lord? If by his grace you're his, to know that my time is short, but the Lord has given me apt warning that those days are short. But see, men cling to this life, and so would we, were it not for his grace and mercy. So when the messengers turned back unto him, that is unto Ahaziah, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? Got here a little quicker than I thought. What happened? They said unto him, there came a man to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him. See, not every message that the Lord gives his servants to declare is necessarily good news. That's what's wrong with false preachers today. They want everybody to think this is good news. God has a wonderful plan for your life. You imagine that sign hanging on the outside of the ark. There wasn't any schmoozing. This Ahaziah, he was targeted for condemnation. And that was the message that was to be delivered. Don't you have anything good to say? Good word from the Lord? Not if you're not his. There is no good word. And so, thus saith the Lord, verse 6. Is it not that because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. See, this is the sovereignty of God. He's the one that caused Ahaziah to lean up on that rail. And all of a sudden it snapped, and he fell down through. God was targeting this Ahaziah for death and letting him know it was him. Again, divine justice. God determines who he saves and who he condemns. But who he saves, he does in a just manner. He's not setting aside his justice. Any of these in the Old Testament that were the Lord's, Christ would come and put away their sin when he did. That was where their salvation line. But to all others, nothing but death and condemnation. And so he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? You hear a man preaching the truth, there's going to be some words in his declaration that are not going to please sinners that the Lord has given over to their own reprobate minds. There's nothing good you can say. Who was this man, by the way? They answered him, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. That's where Ahaziah, being the son of Ahab, he'd already dealt with him. He said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Now that hairy man probably referred to the dress that he wore, just like John the Baptist. He wore that prophet's garb, which is a sign of humility. They didn't go out to enrich themselves like you have preachers today. They were simple men that the Lord raised up to preach his son. So then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. See, here's where you see what happens when God leaves sinners to their own reprobate minds. They will determine that it's going to be otherwise. And such will be the anger, just like they did with our Lord Jesus Christ, denying who he is and his words that he declared, they sought to kill him. So the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. This is where the Lord had put Elijah. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And they were treating him as if he was at their beck and call. But a servant of the Lord isn't. Where we live in this world, and we're to be subject to the powers that be that the Lord has established, but only so far as it does not go against what God has clearly revealed in his word. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, and let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. What a sight. You would think now, okay, well, that's a lesson learned. No. Nope. Again, also, he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, hath the king said, come down quickly. Again, such was the blindness of Ahaziah, that he thought that he could direct one of the Lord's servants against God's will. Come down quickly. And when God says come down, you go down. You bow. But when a man says it, not so. Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, can you imagine being the third group when the king says, I want to get 50 more. I want to send you in here. We're going to get this thing done. That's what so-called free will does. It presumes that somehow it can go against what God has determined. It can't. He sent, again, a captain of the third 50, his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. Here was the Lord bringing him low, and besought him and said unto him, he didn't even wait for Elijah to say, if I be a man of God, he's confessing with his mouth, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. That's how it is you come to Christ, right there. Not demanding, but seeking his mercy and his grace. Elijah here being a representative Christ. Behold, verse 14, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s and their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. He was cast utterly on the Lord's mercies. This again is divine justice. Whatever the will is, in your justice show mercy. And that really is how we cry unto the Lord, knowing ourselves to be worthy of condemnation, and yet in thy justice, O Lord, be merciful. Not in an unjust way, but however can satisfy that justice? And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he rose and went down with him unto the king. What a beautiful picture of representation that we see here in Elijah. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? You realize truth never changes. It still comes back to who is God and how it is that he delivers and saves sinners. And in light of that, why would you ever seek after any other god? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. You know, so-called free will preachers, here's where they would be begging Ahaziah to make some kind of decision, determine, so that God will be favorable to him. But the judgment had already been determined, where God in his justice has already purposed the condemnation of sinners. You're not going to change that. Nor will a preacher ever change that word in order to appease any sinner. I've had some come to me and ask me to go pray with one of their relatives. And I remember one man in particular saying to me, can't you do something? Because this was his father in there dying. Well, a man will die as he's lived. And if God has brought him there and never taught him of Christ, I'm not going to go in there and attempt to convince God otherwise. He is God. Shall he not do right? But that's not what he wanted to hear. When he saw that I wouldn't go in, I stayed out in the hallway. He went in there and organized it and got his family around holding hands and praying to whatever God he was praying to. It wasn't the Lord God. And it wasn't half hour later, I could hear the gasps of the father as he passed from this world. And the groans. I don't know what he was seeing, but he wasn't seeing the Lord. And so he died, verse 17, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Every sinner is going to die according to the word of the Lord. Whether the Lord has determined them to salvation because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and that word accomplished cross, or whether the Lord has purposed their condemnation, where forever they will bear the consequence of their own curse and sin. It says, Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. And the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? You can go over there and read that as the Lord directs. But what a story of God's divine justice, sobering. May the Lord not leave us to ourselves.